Weird Medicine contains mature content and may be offensive to some listeners.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of radio, now a podcast. This is the Weird Medicine Addendum, and I am Dr. Steve with my little pal P.A. John, and I also have it with me in the studio Dr. K, who is a lovely breast-augmented chiropractor. We also have in the studio Mr. E, the mystery man of mystery, working the chat room tonight. And we are broadcasting on Ustream, and we will also be transferring this show to Stitcher and iTunes. Check us out at www.stitcher.com/weirdmedicine. And we also have in the studio P.A. Jill, who is a veteran of this show, and my wife, Tacy, who wants to get breast reduction. So there you go. Just shows everybody... has different interests. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio. If you have a question that you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, or if you just can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Or visit our website at weirdmedicine.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Or go to cafepress.com/weirdmedicine for our stupid merchandise. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, pharmacist, pharmaceutical representative, chiropractor, or whatever. A couple of things in the news recently, the superluminal neutrinos. I know Tacy is fascinated with that story.
Faster than the speed of light?
Yeah, there were CERN, which are the people in Europe who have the giant Hadron Super Collider, measured the speed of neutrinos over the space of a couple of years going from one place to the other, and found that they actually got there faster than they should have if the speed of light was what we think it is. And I know that scientists around the world are fascinated with this, and they're also, most of them are crying shenanigans. They must have done something wrong, but they're all hoping that they're right.
Right.
That's the cool thing about science. People think that scientists suppress ideas that they don't like, and it's really not true. They just require extraordinary evidence to overthrow, a well-held theory.
Right.
But nobody would be more excited than modern-day scientists to find out that everything we know is wrong. They would love it.
Right.
Because that's it. Look, right before quantum physics happened, there were several physicists that said, you know what? We've learned everything there is to learn. The only thing we can't quite figure out is why the sun is still burning. But once we figure that out, then we'll have everything else. And so they worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And then out of that research came nuclear physics, where they had no idea that there was even a nucleus to an atom, and they weren't even positive that atoms existed. And, if you calculate that the sun is burning, like through oxidation, like a chunk of wood, it'll burn out in 50 years. But so they knew something was wrong. Well, they figured, we'll figure it out. No big deal. And then out of that came quantum physics and a whole new chunk of physics, including relativity, that they had no clue about. And that could happen to us. And, you know, we could be right on the cusp of some brand new physics that no one ever had any clue was out there that we didn't know, you know, that we didn't already know the answer to. So we shall see, my friend.
That sounds awesome. Yeah,
be very awesome.
Yay.
This week's show, which is actually in 2 hours on SiriusXM, will mark the debut of my stories about my mother-in-law. And so I've been kind of aching to do these stories for 5 years and didn't have the balls to do it. Drank maybe one too many beers that night, and out came all these stories about Tacy's mom. So make sure that you don't miss that tonight. I think it was pretty funny. We were all laughing, but who knows if it was actually funny. The other thing is this is the last, maybe the last episode where Tacy's breasts will appear on the show, because she is going for a reduction mammoplasty, as I said earlier in the show, otherwise called mutilation.
Boom.
And
sorry, Steve.
So there you go. You have anything? Tacy was pretty excited about this, actually. So
very excited. If I could do it tomorrow, I would do it tomorrow.
Yeah, she's tired of being the big booby girl. Is that right? And you could talk into the microphone and people could hear you better.
I'm tired of being the big booby girl.
Why don't you take the ass juice that's pulled, or the titty juice that's pulled out, and put it in your ass, and you could be the big ass girl.
Titty juice. We could make soap out of it.
Why don't we?
You know? Just like Fight Club. Well, okay. They're all looking at me. Just like none of you see Fight Club. In Fight Club, they went to a liposuction clinic and stole the fat and made soap out of it. Because that's how you make soap. Soap is made out of fat.
I think booby soap would be a great gift for Christmas.
I do, too.
I'm all in for that if we can get him to save it.
It was just like when you, after you delivered, we were going to make breast milk flan for everyone. And
No takers?
No. We didn't
make enough.
As long as you could mold the soap in the form of a vagine, then I think it would be good soap.
Wouldn't it be more appropriate to be a boob?
Yeah, you had
no, just take it into a vagine. Because if you're going to wash your cock, I'd rather have vagine soap than whatever. Soap.
All right. So I'm going to.
Booby soap would be better.
Booby soap?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm doing right now. Is while I'm temporizing here, I'm checking to see if our Ustream feed is working, and also if our Skype thing is working. Okay, Skype is working. So if you want to give us a call, give us a call. I'm going to edit out all of this first 5 minutes when we finally air this on Stitcher, because now we actually have people listening that don't know us and aren't going to cut us as much slack as the people who are listening right now will. But give us a call at 423-343-8884 if you're interested in asking a medical question. And let's see here.
Hi, Dr. Steve. I was wondering, what is the best way to make wine out of homeless man pus and kerosene? What would be the percentage of the two? Should I use more kerosene or more homeless man pus? Thank you.
Neither.
Well, here's the thing. You actually could make wine out of homeless man pus, but you can't make it out of kerosene. So kerosene would kill the yeast, whereas homeless man pus would actually, you know, be something that yeast could eat and ferment. Basically what you need to make wine, and I'm, you know, this guy's making fun of me, but I'm going to take his...
I'm done with that. I'm getting sick.
All right. Well, good. Hey, we finally chased P.A. John out of the studio.
His face got red and all.
Yeast requires sugar and nutrients to ferment, and its byproduct is carbon dioxide and alcohol. And so, you know, you could probably use homeless man pus as a yeast nutrient. You still have to have sugar though to make wine. So that would not. Be possible to use it as an ingredient, but not as the main thing. But kerosene, absolutely not. Now you're being silly. So.
Hey, Dr. Steve. My name's Ted in Pittsburgh. I want to quit smoking. I've been smoking since I was 12 years old. Need to quit. Some asshole, and he really was a jerk, but he had like a vapor cigarette, like a water vapor cigarette that lit up with some sort of light that he fucking dumped.
Okay, that asshole's name is Brian from the Radio Freaks, by the way. Well, when we did our last live Weird Medicine show where we interviewed Ron Bennington, Brian was sitting in the studio helping Tacy, and in the middle of the show whips out an e-cigarette and starts smoking it in the middle of the studio. And actually, it was pretty cool. No smell. All you saw was this person looking like he's smoking a cigarette and blowing out some vapor, but I couldn't detect anything. Could you, honey? You were sitting next to him, so.
No. Nothing. Okay.
Nicotine into the thing. Would you recommend this? To me, it seemed almost cool, like it was putting a patch on, but also giving you the oral fixation that you need.
Okay, so what he's wondering is, can you use electronic cigarettes as a smoking, a quit smoking device? Couple of things. Tobacco addiction is a three-pronged addiction. Have you ever gone frog gigging, Dr. K?
No.
Okay, well, when you go frog gigging, you use a thing called a trident. And it's because when you go to spear the frog, you don't want them wriggling off. So if you just used a spear with one point on it, the frogs could just wriggle off the end of the spear. But when you use a three-pronged spear, they can't do that. And that's what tobacco abuse is like. It's a three-pronged spear, and that's why it's so hard to quit. There's a psychological aspect to it. There's a physiological aspect to it. And then there's another aspect to it that I can't remember. But it's when you quit tobacco. Oh, and there's the habit, just the habit itself. So when you quit tobacco, you'll have a physiologic addiction so that you will have a withdrawal syndrome to it. And there's also a psychological dependence where you feel like you've just got to have it. And then on top of that, there's just the habit itself. And you have to break all three of those to successfully quit. So what this guy is saying is, you know, maybe if I switch to electronic cigarettes, I might be able to get away from the cigarettes themselves and then eventually get off of everything. And my only concern about electronic cigarettes is that they are unregulated, and it is a medication delivery device. It delivers a drug called nicotine, and it is supposed to be in measured doses, but I don't know how they're measuring their doses with these things. And they're made in some other country and just imported here and then sold kind of under the counter in some places, because I know the FDA is trying to regulate them, and that's my only concern about it. John and I did some research on this several years ago and found that they appear to be safer than regular cigarettes because they don't have tar, and it's only the nicotine. But nicotine itself, it's not just about tar and carbon monoxide in cigarettes. Nicotine is a vasoconstrictor, causes impotence in men over 40, can be a leading risk factor for heart attacks and stuff. So if you're going to use it as a transition to get off cigarettes and onto these things and then off of those things, that's fine. But if you end up addicted to the e-cigarettes, which is very likely, it's not doing you as much good as quitting altogether would. I've known people who were completely addicted to nicotine gum. They weren't smoking anymore, but they were still using nicotine.
I have friends like that never smoked, but they're addicted to nicotine gum.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yep. Yeah. And it's nicotine, it is itself a tumor promoter. It activates this protein called protein kinase C that actually can cause tumors to grow faster. So that's an issue with nicotine. It's not just the tar and the carbon monoxide and the formaldehyde and all that stuff, although it's nice to cut all that shit out, you know. You got any questions from the chat room, Mr. E?
BC Trucker wants to know, what is an anal fissure and how do you know you have one?
Okay. Anal fissure, was Joey Buttafuoco's girlfriend, right? She was on a Celebrity.
I believe that's Amy.
Okay. Hey, Jill, you used to treat a lot of anal fissures.
Yes,
you want to talk about it a little bit?
Sure. An anal fissure is usually accompanies tenesmus, so you feel like you have to go to the bathroom after you've already been, or even when you, I guess, really don't have anything to expel, but you have that feeling of just needing to go.
That's a great medical word, tenesmus. It just is the feeling that you need to take a dump. So, very good. So, and also severe pain with defecation,
painful.
Too.
Yeah. Yes. And you can sometimes see blood with that. If you have a bowel movement and you go to wipe, you'll see a little blood on the tissue, and you'll feel pain when you're actually having a bowel movement. And it's just basically a little cut in the anal tissue. And usually that's something that will heal with, obviously, regular bowel movements. So, if you're not having regular bowel movements, that's something you could change with treatment of that.
You mean like adding citrusel to your diet to
you
have
could.
More fluffy and yes, less rock
yes.
and hard?
I mean,
stools.
That will definitely yeah. that will bulk your stool. So you need to be sure you're drinking plenty of fluids. But yes, having a high fiber diet that will allow you to have more regular bowel movements that are more efficient. It will bulk your bowel movements, but if they are soft, it shouldn't be painful. A hydrocortisone cream can sometimes help with the pain just because of the inflammation.
I know that some kids will get encopresis, which is this constant shitting of their pants over and over again because they'll get an anal fissure, and then it hurts so much to move their bowels that they'll hold it in until they just overflow, and then their colon is just, you know, pushing stool out constantly. So, you know, it's definitely worth treating because that's a pretty horrific thing to have happen to you, especially when you're a little kid and you're trying to go to school and you're constantly pooping your pants. So I've got, did you have anything else on that,
I
Jill?
Do.
Who should they see?
I mean, they could see a general surgeon, could definitely treat that. I mean, their family practice physician, I would imagine, would be able to offer some treatment with that. But if the things that they offered did not help, a general surgeon, I think, would be the next step.
Yeah. And 509 area code, hang on the line. We used to use these things called rectal rockets, which were suppositories made by the pharmacist. And they'd have cortisone, and it was called a rectal rocket because it looked like a rocket. And the bulbous part of, like a 1950s Flash Gordon rocket, the bulbous part you would jam up your rectum, and then the sphincter would hold the rectal rocket at the neck, right? And then the sort of flared out part would actually stick outside of your asshole. And then that would keep the medicine in contact with the sphincter constantly.
Kind of like today's butt plug?
Yeah, it's like a butt plug, but then it would have a slot in it so that you could fart through it, which is very convenient, so that when you fart, you don't shoot this rectal rocket, you know, across the room. So it's pretty cool. 509 area code, you're on Weird Medicine Addendum. How's it going? Uh-oh, where'd they go? Are you there? Caller?
Say hello.
No, I guess we lost them. Okay, I just hung up. Okay, so anyway, did you guys have anything else on the... Go ahead, Mr. E.
Lunch Journals wants to know, he said he has an insatiable thirst. He doesn't matter what he drinks, he's always thirsty. He wants to know if it's mental or medical. He says, not alcohol much, oddly enough. Just can't get enough to drink. It seems like it's been that way since I can remember.
Yeah, well, knowing it's Lunch Journals... Yes, number two is correct. It is mental, but it may be a physical problem as well. And John, you probably should speak on this and what he should be thinking about.
Sounds like you may need to see an oral surgeon, and your tongue just may have some sensitivity to not having enough moisture.
Oh, well, that is one thing. If you have an inflamed tongue, it could make you feel thirsty all the time. I was really going for the diabetes thing.
Yeah, that's where I figured you were going with me on that, but yeah. I decided to steer you a little
different.
There you different.
Go. Oh, you are messing with
right.
my head.
That's right. No, that definitely is the number one sign for diabetes, is increased thirst, increase in urination. You drink more, you're going to pee more, but that's the whole...
If it's been going on forever and he's young, I think Lunch Journals is a pretty young guy. It's unlikely that he has type 1 diabetes
right.
because he would...
Have figured it out by now.
They would have figured it out by now. Most of those folks who have the juvenile onset diabetes learn about it because they go into a thing called diabetic ketoacidosis where they end up in the hospital really, really sick. So I think it's probably not that, but it's worth getting his blood sugar checked.
The other thing I was going with the whole thirsty part of the moisture in the tongue, Sjögren's syndrome? Is that?
Sjögren's syndrome.
Yeah. That's it.
Sjögren's syndrome is an autoimmune illness, and Dr. K, you're nodding your head, so yeah. Feel free to jump in. Yeah. I mean, that's what you're here for.
It's usually like a genetic arthritis that you have dry eyes, dry mouth, usually have some urinary problems with it and some joint issues as well. So that would be something to check out.
And the other thing is he on any medication? If he's taking, right now it's allergy season. If he's taking Claritin or Benadryl, a lot of medications can cause dry mouth and make you have insatiable thirst too. So, all right, 509 area code called back. You're on Weird Medicine Addendum. What the hell? Okay, wait a minute. Don't hang up. I'll edit this out later. Let me see. Let me make sure that there isn't something going on here.
Okay, and...
Yeah, speak, John.
Furf. Furf, furf. I don't have anything else to add but that, Steve. Okay. So we're going to have to figure out something else to do.
Okay, that's okay. We'll take a second here to figure this out. I can edit it out for the Stitcher cast.
Well, how come it doesn't do...
Well, I just can't hear them.
All right.
Let's see here.
So anything going on out there in the live studio audience besides drunkardness?
Yeah, Jill's pretty wasted.
No, I'm not.
You did good answering that question, though.
Thank you.
Our rating, John, you might know this.
All right, go for it.
Not That Jim says, I take efforts. EFFXOR, and it makes me sweat like a pig. Is there anything you can do about it?
Effexor.
Sorry, I'm not familiar with the drugs.
Okay. Yeah, Kelly, you want to talk about that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a big the
I'm
side
not a
effects
big pharmaceutical
of the,
person, but I know that it's.
Let
okay.
Tacy talk about that. She actually has some knowledge of forethought of this.
A lot of antidepressants are SSRIs, and the majority of them, well, almost all of them, at different degrees, can cause hyperhidrosis, and it's a really tough issue. I mean, because you're already depressed and anxious, and then you go somewhere and then you're sweating, and then you get more anxious and more depressed, and then you sweat some more, and it's just very uncomfortable. And I've actually had this also. Now, I am now taking Lexapro, which apparently has less incidence of hyperhidrosis. I still have it. I'm one of the lucky ones, but you know, you can try different ones in the class to see, you know, if one affects you less than the other. It's at least worth talking to your physician about because they have heard this before. This isn't something they're going to think you're crazy with, and they all work. So, you know, just talk to them and see if you can get on something that has lesser incidence of it.
Yep, absolutely. It's a very well-known side effect from Effexor, and just talk to your doctor because they can switch things around. And sometimes I think that they can try adding another medication called Wellbutrin, which can counteract some of the effects of the SSRI. And if you're having sexual side effects, for example, that's another type of side effect that you can have, or adverse effect that can be counteracted with the addition of Wellbutrin or bupropion. Let's try area code 317. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Oh, and we can hear you. Whoever that other person is got a problem with their phone. That's what that is. So, what's up,
Dave? Hey, I called and I left a message because I went to your voicemail. But I'm calling about ears. My dad and my sister and myself all have, I think it's called a colloquial or colloquia or something like that.
A cochlea?
No. Yes. Where the bone, I guess, grows and kind of takes out the hearing.
Oh, okay.
Well, my dad had surgery like in his 20s, and he's going on 62 now. But the surgery failed back then, and now his other ear, he's got very little hearing. And my sister had two successful ear surgeries to fix the same thing here within the last 10 years, and I'm going to have one here within the next 3 or 4 months or so. But I was wondering, from a doctor's standpoint, what are the risks? because from what my dad tells me, nobody wants to operate on his other ear for fear of that he'll be deaf.
Where did he go to have this done? Did he go to a university center, or was it a community hospital, or?
No, it was an ear specialist. Whoever performed my sister's ear surgery, I don't know what their formal term was, but
here's the thing.
I mean, is it possible that someone would operate on his ear? Because I mean, at this point, he's got a hearing aid, and he basically has perfected seeing people mouthing words.
Right.
And I'm more concerned for him than me, but I mean, is there a doctor that would?
Yes, there actually is. I'm going to give you the guy's name. And okay. What part of the country are you in?
Indianapolis.
Okay, well, it wouldn't be too far away. They're the probably the premier guy for stapedectomy, which is what your dad probably had, which is when the bones of the ear grow together. There's these three little bones, the hammer, anvil, and stirrup, and they attach to the cochlea, which is the actual hearing organ of the ear. And it's a real complicated but very cool system, and it's the tympanic membrane vibrates, and then these things transmit the sound vibrations to the cochlea, and then it vibrates in this little oval window, and if any of that part gets fused together, the ear won't work. So they can do an operation to fix that, and it helps some, but it's never 100%. But the guy's name is Harold Pillsbury, and he's at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and he's probably the premier dude for operating on the middle ear. And you can imagine, these bones are so small you can barely see them, even if you're doing anatomic dissection in medical school. And to actually operate on living hammer, anvil, and stirrup and cochlea is just amazing. It's mind-blowing, and this guy is unbelievable. Now, he was unbelievable 20 years ago. I still hear that he is the dude. And all of the people that train under him become the underdudes. So they're all just as good as he is. And so that's where I would start. Now, there may be other people out there that are as good or better, but he's the one I know. And if you email me at weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com, and I can probably put you in touch with them.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Cool, man. You just happened to hit on something that I know, because I went to University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and trained under Harold Pillsbury, and the dude was a mind blower. Smartest.
Well, I've heard you talk about the colloquia, or I'm still messing that name up, but on O&A. So that when I heard you guys talk about that at one point, I was like, wow, I got a cold. I understand about this.
Cool, man. Well, I'm glad you did. Awesome.
Hey, thanks for the help.
Hey, anytime.
And I will definitely email you.
Okay, do it. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, man. All right. Yeah, this dude. Now, the other guy that I trained under in ear, nose, and throat, at when I you just do these rotations, was this guy named Newton Fisher, and he was the most eccentric dude I have ever met in my life, and he would never say, a deck of cards. He would call it a thin stack of laminates. And it just weird stuff like that. And there was this guy in our class, and I'm not going to say his name, but everybody in our class hated this guy. He was a brown noser. He sat up front in these big lectures, and there would be him and then three rows, empty rows, and then all the rest of us. And then my friend Ty Wadsworth and I would sit way in the back and just make fun of everybody. And This Newton Fisher came in and did this lecture, and he was showing us the most horrific pictures of people that had their faces dissected. And he was like, if you miss this, I will despise you. And he'd show this next picture, and here's another guy with half his face taken off because he had some sort of facial cancer. And he's like, if you miss this diagnosis, I will despise you. And all of a sudden, in the middle of his lecture, and we were all just going, what the hell is this guy? And we were getting scared because he was going to despise us, because there's no way that you weren't going to at some point miss some of these things. And at one point he looks down at this guy that we all hated, and he just stops, and it's real quiet in there, and he looks at him and he just goes, your beatific smile is insipid, sir. we all just absolutely died laughing. It was beautiful. That's when we knew he was a genius, because he picked out the one asshole in our class and just absolutely destroyed him in front of everybody. It was great. So anyway. All right.
Hey, Steve, I have a problem with maybe you can help me out with my penis. For about the past, it's about 3 years or so, when I urinate, it's dark red blood that comes out, and my anus also leaks the same dark red blood. And it's about 3 years or so, when I urinate, maybe half the time, it bleeds every time, but half the time it hurts, other times it doesn't. I wonder, maybe you can help me out with this. Should I, have this checked out, or is this normal?
That's funny. I happen to know that this guy was bullshitting us, because I emailed him back, and when people leave these voicemails, as long as they leave it on our regular voicemail, which is the 347 poo headline, I'll text them back. If you use your cell phone and you got pretty good audio, I can hear you. I'll send you a text message back. I'm way behind right now. I'm about 100 voicemails behind, so I'm sorry. But I've committed to doing this. So I text this guy back, and I'm like, no, that's not normal. You need to go see somebody. He's like, I was just fucking with you. So, but if you have blood coming from somewhere, it is that where it's not supposed to be coming from, which is just about any orifice of your body. It needs to be looked at by a medical professional. So, what were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay. You got anything?
I can't pronounce it.
Oh, Charcot-Marie-Tooth?
Yes.
Who's calling about that? And what was the actual question?
It's a nerve disease. He wants to know more about it, apparently.
Well, okay.
Arbor at 10.
I'm happy to answer this question. What he's asking about is Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease, and it's a real common inherited neurological disorder, and it affects a lot of people in this country. It's about 1 in 2,500 people. And but here's the thing. I can do better if he would just email me and ask me what his question is specifically, and I'll just send him some information on it. Because this is not something that we can drunkenly joke around about and answer in, a couple of minutes. If he'll email me at weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com, he or she, I'll send him some information. I can hook him up with the Charcot-Marie-Tooth Association and all that kind of stuff. So we'll go from there.
Weird Medicine XM.
Weird, yeah, and presumably they're listening. They can always go to drsteve.com, and there's a contact button up at the top, and you can send me an email there. Just make sure that if you do that,
hey, doctor.
If you're going to use that you put in your correct email address, because I have somewhere I've typed up like 2-page answer to somebody, and then it bounces back because they put in the wrong email. So,
right. Steve, Rob from Kentucky. I recently got on Chantix to quit smoking, and I'd heard about people having nightmares from taking it. Well, I really had some weirded out fucking Dungeons and Dragons or World of Warcraft dreams, but whenever I had them, it was like I knew that I was dreaming and I was able to ride it out, if that makes any sense. But I have never ever had that happen to me in a dream state before, to where I was aware that I was in a dream. Anyhow, love you, love the show, you silly shit dick. Thank you.
That call just kind of went south there at the end. The FDA has banned their pilots from using Chantix, and I also hear that some trucking companies are not allowing their truckers to use Chantix. It's a great drug compared to what we had before, which is nicotine gum and nicotine patches, anywhere between 5% and 15% success rate with those, whereas with Chantix, like 42% success rate. But that increased success comes with some downside, and one of those is these mental effects, where you've got 1 in X number 1,000 people will have weird dreams or weird thought patterns and suicidal ideation, that kind of stuff. That, what he had, sounded kind of cool.
Did sound cool. Dungeons and Dragons dream where you were awake in them?
Yeah, and he was awake in it.
Oh, that's awesome.
People, there are books and people who try for years to have waking dreams, so that they can be awake in their dream cycle.
Is that and hypopophonic? So what is that? How is it hyper?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Yes.
Hypnogognic.
Hypnogognic, yeah.
Hypnogogic episodes. Yeah. Or hypnopompic. Sorry, hypnogogic episodes is when you're going to sleep. Hypnopompic episodes are when you emerge from sleep. And that's that sleep paralysis where people feel like they're being abducted by aliens and stuff like that. You got anything else in the chat room there, buddy?
Not at the moment.
Okay. You can give us a call at 423-343-8884. The lines are open right now, and let's check another thing out here.
Yeah, I don't know if you got my message. I called a few minutes ago. Anyways, I think I pressed the wrong button or something. Anyways, I've got this problem, and, well, basically I've got a huge set of fucking balls, man. And they kind of get, it's kind of inconvenient at times because, like, they hang down really low, you know? And when I'm fucking my girlfriend, it kind of annoys her because my balls slap up against the crack of her ass. And she gets fucking pissed sometimes.
He's cracking himself
you know,
up.
Hey, what the fuck, you know? But anyways, is this, like, fucking normal? I mean, should I have some kind of an operation to maybe shrink them up or something? I don't know what the fuck to do.
Man. All right. Jesus.
Enough about your
balls.
Get
a different girlfriend.
Well, every guy has every guy's nuts are different. No question about that. And some people's hang much lower than others. As you get older, they tend to hang down. You have those old man nuts like what Johnny Knoxville in, was it Jackass 2, where he had the nuts hanging out of the back of his pants where he, you know, when he dressed up like the old man. It's hilarious. And then at one point, the dog was pulling on his nutsack, and these people on the street. Anyway, if they are abnormally large, however, a doctor can tell, and he could have several things. There's this thing called massive scrotal edema, where people get nuts that are as big as grapefruits and sometimes as big as basketballs. And if it's left long enough, and but the other thing is just a hydrocele. That's a fluid-filled a sac around or above the testicle that can get enlarged.
Is that painful?
Not usually, but it can. What happens is the knocking around of the nuts is what can be painful, because gravity is pulling on them more than regular testes, and so they get knocked around. And then the thing he's talking about, where he's just slapping his nuts up against his girlfriend's taint when he's having sex with her, or whatever part of her anatomy, depending on what they happen to be doing at the time.
If they're doing it doggy style, he's got nuts that big, it might be flopping up against your belly button.
Wow, that's an image. And then on his back. Just back and forth, belly button back, belly button back. But
the pendulum swings the other way.
Yes. So he just needs to go get checked out. And, you know, he could have had mumps at some point, too, and gotten an orchitis, which is just an inflammation of the nuts. So, you know, yes, he needs to get those looked at. And yes, there is a solution for it. He can have an operation if it's bad enough. And he could be a lot more comfortable if they're uncomfortable. We got that caller from 509 area code. Give it a try. No.
Hello?
Oh, hey, there you go. I'm all nervous because it's a chick, so.
Okay, talk to us.
So I'm 28, and for as long as I can remember, I have this spot in my belly button.
Okay.
That when I push it, it seems to send like a nerve shoot down to my clitoris.
Oh.
I'm kind of wondering, is this common? Does anybody else have this? Am I weird?
Yeah, you are weird, but that's just because you're listening to our show. But this is absolutely normal. This happens to me, too. When I put my finger in my belly button, I feel it in my clitoris as well. What it is there is there's a structure that goes from the belly button down to the genitals called the urachus. And this is an embryologic structure that had veins and arteries and nerves that were... used to transmit blood and nutrients from the placenta to your bloodstream. And when you were born, that ureca started to devolve. That's not the word I'm thinking of. Devolute, and it starts to scar down, and it becomes unuseful. Okay, but the nerves in the ureca still continue to exist. And so when you stick your finger in your belly button, you will feel that. And I have exactly the same thing. And I wonder if how many people here, now if you guys will stick your finger in your belly button, see if you feel an impulse going down into the infra-umbilical area, which is the area below your umbilicus or the belly button, into your the area of your genitals or above. Anybody feel that at all?
Nope.
Okay. No. Tacy?
No.
Okay. Jill? Nope. Is Sleep. Jill passed out? Is she passed out?
She's sleeping.
She's sleeping. But anyway, I think that's completely normal because I have it too. So maybe you and I are the two weird ones. Hey, Eric, Mr. E just came back in. Stick your finger in your belly button. See if you feel any kind of weird sensation going down into your genitals.
Unfortunately, he plays with not. His belly button all the time.
Okay. All right, no. So yes, you're weird, and so am I. It's just you and me. But that's where that's coming from. It's the just Google ureca sometime. It's U-R-A-C-H-U-S.
Cool.
All right. Okay. Hey. Anytime. Thanks. Hey, thanks for trying three times.
Wait. Can I ask you a question? Are you still there, 509?
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, do you is this like a increase sensation where you could actually
stimulate yourself
and get an orgasm with playing with your belly button?
It's not enough for that, but it is pleasant.
Yeah, see, to me it's vaguely unpleasant for me. But it just, you can tell it's a nerve impulse going
I'm
down.
I'm jealous.
There. Did you get it? Though that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. All right, that's all I wanted to know.
Okay, cool. Hey, thanks for calling.
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay,
bye.
We'll see you. Bye. Yeah, God. You know, I always thought it was just me. And then she said, well, is it weird? And it's like, well, no, I have that too, but maybe it's just the two of us. Maybe. So I'm surprised that none of you guys feel that.
I'm going to apologize, everybody on Ustream. My laptop died, so if you're listening, it's...
Oh, okay. Oh,
kick the
you know, that's got the crappiest battery in it. That's my fault.
I had one question, if you got time.
Yeah, absolutely.
He said he had a real problem with... things that had vinegar in it. Hot wings is his favorite foods, all sauce, vinegar. It was causing him to sweat, and it was really embarrassing when he was at restaurants. And he's on Nexium for acid reflux.
Yeah. Okay. You know, alcohol can cause people to sweat, and and vinegar is basically alcohol that has been oxidized one more time. Okay, so if you take ethyl alcohol and oxidize it, it becomes acetaldehyde, and if you oxidize it one more time, it becomes acetic acid, and acetic acid is vinegar. And those things will hit some of the same receptors in the brain. Although vinegar won't make you drunk, it will do the same thing. And I would predict that this person also, if he drinks alcohol, probably gets a flushing reaction too.
You remember way too much about chemistry.
I know, it's frightening, isn't it?
He's so smart.
Yeah, that's me. All right.
I don't remember it.
And we've got our last call we're going to be able to take tonight. 231 area code. You're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Steve. How you doing?
Hey, good, man. What's up?
I got a vitiligo, and it's predominantly on my balls. I was wondering if there's anything that can be done about it.
You have a piebald nutsack.
I do.
Yeah. What can be done about it? You know, Michael Jackson had vitiligo too, and what his reaction to that was to bleach all of his skin. And that's the only thing I know that you can do. You can't make all the skin dark again. You can just make the rest of the skin white. And I don't know if bleaching your nutsack is something that you want to do. You know, I would just make sure that any partners that you have understand it's not a sexually transmitted disease, and forget about it, to be honest with you. Does it really bother you that much?
Not really.
Yeah, I'd leave it alone. Fuck it. Well, how about that? And the other thing is, though, make sure that it's not a fungus causing loss of pigmentation, because every once in a while you'll get somebody that's got fungus on their nut sack and they'll get some depigmentation called tinea versicolor. And some people it will make them darker, and other people it will make them lighter, and it could be that. And Mr. E, the mystery man of mystery, is also nodding his head because apparently he had some tinea versicolor on his chest. Right. Well,
it was all over your chest and back, though.
Yeah, and if you scratch it like you just did now and then go play with your balls, it could be on your sack next.
Don't be spreading that balls shit.
Right now. Thanks.
Okay, cool, man. All right, hey, appreciate it. All right. Well, listen, we got to get out of here. Tacy was coming in here looking at the clock to see why we were going so long. It's really only been 47 minutes, honey. Yeah, 47 minutes. So, appreciate everybody being here.
It's called the Beer Festival. We're all drunk and tired.
Yeah, we are. We need to. And here's
and
the thing.
And the barbecue.
Please tune in. Special delivery. We didn't mean to go up against them tonight. It's just worked out that we needed to get on the air. Right now, because we just had to do a show right now, and before we pass out, exactly. And then don't miss Weird Medicine tonight at 10 o'clock. It's the September 24th edition. Thank you, PA John, for
that
checking
was right
in
my face. Thanks, John.
John just decided that he was going to.
I thought you liked me, neighbor.
pass flatus, and when he did, it was aimed right toward Dr. K. So that's nice. Anyway, thanks go to P.A. John, Dr. K, Mr. E, the mystery man of mystery, Tacy, and P.A. Jill, who is sleeping out in the anteroom.
Wait.
We can't forget Eric Nagel, Opie and Anthony, Ron and Fez, whose steadfast support of this show never goes unappreciated. Many thanks to our listeners, especially the folks that called in tonight. You guys make our job really easy. Go to our website at weirdmedicine.com for schedules and podcasts and other stuff. Go to Stitcher.com/weirdmedicine and download the Stitcher app. Stitcher rules. It's fantastic. And we were picked as one of their podcasts of the week this week. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine Addendum. Woo-hoo.